You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast, www.savagelovecast.com.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
Well, gee. A lot has happened since I recorded last week's intro a few days in advance. Like Colin Jost put it on Weekend Update, turns out everyone you've ever heard of is a sex monster. Weinstein, Spacey, CK, Takei, Mark Halperin, Brett Ratner, Ed Westwick, and of course, Alabama's finest, Roy Moore. Moore is the disgraced former judge twice removed from the Supreme Court in Alabama for ethical violations and refusing to follow the law. And yet he's somehow still a viable candidate for the United States Senate, despite a history of, quote unquote, dating teenage girls and allegedly sexually assaulting a 14-year-old girl, as the Washington Post reported last week in an exhaustively sourced piece. We should have really seen more coming, if you'll pardon the expression, because anyone who goes on and on and on and on and on about how gays and lesbians and trans women are a threat to children is almost certainly diddling kids themselves. Remember Pastor Ken Atkins, the Baptist minister from Georgia, who said that the victims of the Pulse nightclub massacre in Orlando were, and I quote, getting what they deserved because gay people are sick and sinful and prey on children? He was arrested a few months later for child molestation, and Pastor Atkins is in jail now, where he belongs. But Roy Moore, yeah, he's not going to jail. He's probably going to the U.S. Senate with the help of right-wing evangelical Christians, the same voting bloc, values voters as they like to style themselves, who put an admitted sexual predator in the White House. Nearly 40% of white evangelicals said they were more likely to support Roy Moore after the revelations, according to Newsweek. These are the same people who've been screaming and yelling about the non-existent threat of trans women preying on girls in public restrooms. Ugh, I didn't want to bog down on Moore on the top of the show. There's really too much ground to cover here. I mean, gotta talk about Louis C.K. I feel like I should talk about Louis C.K. and the cultural moment and what it all means. But you know what? Instead of listening to me rant, I think you should go and read what some smart women are saying. Rebecca Traister's piece at The Cut is a great place to start. It's headlined "Your Reckoning and Mine," as stories about abuse, assault, and complicity come flooding out. How do we think about the culprits in our lives, including sometimes ourselves? It's a terrific piece. Everyone should read it. And if, like me, Twitter has very nearly destroyed your ability to read anything long form, I would suggest you follow, if you aren't following already, Kate Harding, at Kate Harding, author of Asking For It, a book about rape culture on Twitter, and Melissa McEwen, editor of Shakesville, who tweets at Shakes Tweets. Both are tweeting up a storm right now, an informative, illuminating storm, and you should be following them. Someone else to follow on Twitter, don't know her name, but her Twitter handle is at PoliticMasFina, and she tweeted this over the weekend. Men, don't show your dick to anyone who didn't specifically ask to see your dick. I am unsure why this is hard. Do we need to write the dick commandments? You know what we do? We clearly do, and I thought I would take a stab at the dick commandments myself. So, boys in my audience, men who are listening to me, dick havers, not all of the men, thou shalt keep thy dick in thy pants. Thou shalt not surprise anyone with thy dick. Thou shalt not whip thy dick out in restaurants, at work, in hotel suites, during business meetings, on airplanes, on public transportation, in front of children, parishioners, clients, employees. Basically, thou shalt not whip out thy dick anywhere dick whipping out is uncalled for. And if you are standing there thinking about whipping out your dick and you're not sure whether now is the time, whether it is called for, now is definitely not the time and it is not called for. If thou hast a fetish for this sort of shit, for dick whipping out, thou shalt take a moment to consider the stakes. And it's not just the emotional stakes for the people you're thinking about victimizing that you have to factor in these days, something way too many dick whipper-outers in the past were capable of ignoring, but the social and professional stakes for yourself. And people who have a fetish for this sort of shit, you shall avail yourself of the places and opportunities where your dick whipping out would be welcome. Various sex clubs and public sex environments, they are out there. Seek them out and whip your dick out
there.
Thou art free to take as many pics of thy dick as thy pleases. It's a free country, but thou shalt not send those dick pics to anyone who hasn't asked to see them. Thou shalt not, and this is a really important one, put thy dick on, in, or near anyone who hasn't asked to have thy dick on, in, or near them. And thou shalt be conscious of the fact that women live with the near constant threat of sexual violence, so what may seem harmless or flirtatious to you, what may seem like horseplay, can be perceived very differently by women. And finally, one commandment, not assault specific, but I think legit still, and a lot of men need to hear this, thou shalt keep thy dick clean. Seriously, if you can smell your own dick when you pull it out in the toilet to take a piss, take a fucking shower. All right, that was my stab at some dick commandments. There are lots more. Go find the thread under Politic Mas Fina's tweet, men don't show your dick. Go look at it. There's lots of women out there with their own set of dick commandments, and I think each and every one should be obeyed. All right, coming up on today's Lovecast, we have Buck Angel here with us to tackle a question that is kind of dick specific, and tons of your questions and lots of my answers all on today's show. This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by AdamandEve.com. Get 50% off one item and free shipping when you enter the offer code SAVAGE at checkout. Today's episode is brought to you by Stamps.com. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer and printer. And right now you can enjoy the stamp service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in my code, SAVAGE. That's Stamps.com, click the mic, enter SAVAGE. This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Everlane, luxury basic clothing and accessories made at ethical factories without those retail markups. For free shipping and to support the Lovecast, go to everlane.com/savage.
Hi, Dan. I am a 26-year-old bisexual female calling from Indiana. I just have a question about vaginal to anal, back to vaginal sex. Doing that, obviously, with the condom on and changing the condom in between to prevent bacterial infection, do that, use lube regularly. I'm just wondering, obviously, porn isn't a depiction of real life, but I see people doing this in porn without condoms on, and I'm just wondering how they're doing this, if they're getting infections, because using condoms all the time, I am in a long-term relationship with my partner. I have an IUD, so we don't use condoms for vaginal intercourse. So I'm just wondering how they do that, if it's possible to do it without condoms, without getting infection. Thanks.
You can't go from ass to vagina and back and then back again without incurring some risk for the vagina haver, bacterial infection, inducing fecal matter into the vaginal canal. Very, very bad, potential serious, annoying health consequences for the woman. So the advice there is don't do it. That said, in porn, people do things that people in actual real life might not want to do. You see a lot of unprotected sex in porn. You see a lot of stunt sex in porn. You see a lot of what you describe in porn. You see a lot of ass to mouth. You see a lot of ass to front. And if the porn is produced ethically, the porn performers are mitigating those risks and taking them on themselves willingly and fully informed about the risks and then able to monitor their health to control for those potential negative outcomes. I wouldn't recommend it to you. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. I wouldn't recommend it to a friend of mine who might be doing porn. But it is represented in porn. Unfortunately, a lot of people watch that and then think that they should do it themselves or that it's safe to do, and it's not safe. But as with any potentially pleasurable human activity, there are going to be risks. As I like to say, people go snowboarding and slam into trees and die. People eat chicken salad because it's delicious. Undercooked salmonella, they die. If this is something that you want to do without condoms and you are willing to shoulder the risks, you're willing to dodge those trees or to monitor your health after, or cook that chicken after or before, it's not entirely irrational to go for it. Although I don't recommend it and I don't think people should do it. And I think the health risks are more serious, perhaps more consequential than the health risks of, say, rimming a clean butthole because you're really getting in there deep and then plunging it in and out and then popping it into the vagina. Yeah. Bad idea. If you'd like your partner to be able to go back and forth between your vagina and your ass without having to put condoms on and off, put a female condom in your ass, a receptacle condom in your ass, and he can plunge his bear cock into that condom that's in your ass and then plunge his bear cock into your vag and go back and forth that way. So much less cumbersome than pulling condoms on and off, and you will be enjoying ass to vag and back, but safely.
Hey, Dan and the tech savvy at-risk youth. I have a question about network names for internet. So I moved into my apartment building a few months ago thinking that, hey, this is a queer-friendly environment. I identify as queer and actually did a lease takeover from some friends who also identify along those lines. And so I was expecting this to be kind of an inclusive space. It kind of feels like a cul-de-sac where the buildings are set up. Anyway, a couple of weeks ago, I came home from work and I noticed that several people in my area had changed the names of their internet networks to be transphobic statements and other homophobic things, ranging from really transphobic statements to things like straight as fuck. I guess they needed to be clear about that. I'm wondering, what can I do? All that I've been able to come up with so far is changing my network name to Trans Lives Matter LGBTQ Pride. But I have to look at this several times a day because, I mean, this is my personal thing. My internet doesn't connect right away. So every time I connect to internet at home, I have to look at all of these really awful, hateful statements. And I don't know who around me has changed their networks to these names. I don't know what else can be done. What can you do with that kind of thing?
I don't know about you guys, but I am really enjoying season 4 of Transparent, which is right where my head went when I began to listen to your call, because there's a whole plot line that involves a Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous meeting. At the end of their meetings, they recite the Serenity Prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Hey, lady, there's nothing you can do about this, literally nothing you can do about it, including prove that these addresses are coming from inside the building. I get on my Wi-Fi in my house and I pick up a friend's Wi-Fi address from 3 blocks away. Those things bounce around. If you're in a densely packed apartment and your apartment is on the same block or across the street from other apartment buildings or other houses, the people that you're concerned about might not even be in your building. So going to the management of your building to complain about people's Wi-Fi addresses that they'll never be able to track down, never be able to pin on a particular tenant, is going to be a waste of your time. It's not something that you can change. So my advice would be, if it's a torment to you and that you're sharing a building with assholes, that would be a torment to me too. That would annoy me, thinking, God, who am I in the elevator with? I get your frustration, but you can't do anything about it. So get somebody to come over and work on your computer so that when you get on your computer, you automatically hook up to your own Wi-Fi and you don't have to see all these hateful things, perhaps some of which are meant ironically. I have a friend years ago who changed his Wi-Fi address to God Hates Fags, even though he's the biggest fag in the world, just as a joke, without probably thinking about how other people might feel about spotting that when they got on their Wi-Fi. And then you won't have to see anybody's once you get the computer expert over to help you. And even if you do stumble over them every once in a while, you just have to recite the Serenity Prayer. This is a thing that you cannot change. You're going to have to accept that. There's really nothing you can do about it. Plow your energies and your angst and your drive to make the world a better place into something that you can actually affect change by plowing your energies into it. This, sadly, is not one of those things. Oh, let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? And when you get it, is it fun? Is it accessorized enough? I bet you'd love more and more accessories and more fun. And you can get that by going to adamandeve.com, where they want to give you more with 50% off just about any item, plus free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get your 50% off one item and your free shipping and your more fun? It's not hard. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code SAVAGE at checkout and you will get 50% off almost any item. Go check out adamandeve.com today. Select one item and get 50% off, including free shipping, when you enter offer code SAVAGE. That's SAVAGE. savage@adamandeve.com.
Hi, Dan. Longtime listener, first-time caller. I'm in kind of a conundrum, and it's causing me a great deal of distress, and I was wondering if you had any insight on it. So, as you can hear, probably, a lot of people think I'm a female, but I actually identify as a trans man, but I haven't had any surgery or hormones, and I don't currently plan on getting surgery or starting hormones. It's just not where I am currently. So currently I present as a female. Sometimes I wear more feminine clothes, sometimes I wear more masculine clothes. And basically I can't get anyone in the gay community to like date me or take me seriously as a gay man. And sure, I can go have sex with like a heterosexual, you know, cisgendered man or something like that, but they just don't, they refuse to relate to me as the gay man that I am. And I just don't want to feel like just because I am a trans man that I have to get surgery or start hormones. Like if I make that decision, I want it to be my decision and not because I'm being pressured to make that decision by any community. And so it's just like, how do I find people who are going to date me for who I am when I present as a female and I don't identify as a female, but I don't necessarily currently want to take steps medically to look like a man. Like I want to date men because I'm a gay man who are attracted to me as who I am. And I see with, you know, trans women, there's a lot of push for acceptance of not identifying penises as necessarily being male genitalia and things like that. But I don't see a lot of that for trans men. And I'm just feeling kind of angry and isolated. And I was wondering if you have any advice.
Joining me by phone from London to help tackle this call is Buck Angel, speaker, author, porn star, frequent Savage Lovecast guest, and also a trans man who has had sex with more gay men than I have. Hey, Buck.
Hello, my friend, but I don't think I've had more than you, so you better stop saying that.
Well, someday we'll have to get together and compare our sex diaries and get out, get out the ass grabicus and figure out who's had more. All right, so speaking from personal experience, let's not even talk about the call for a second. There are gay men out there who will sleep with trans men. Is that not so?
Well, you just said it, right? So, yeah, I've slept with many, many, many gay men who identify completely as gay men, 100%. Yes.
And you're having a vagina. You're the man with a pussy. That's how you style yourself. Isn't a problem for these guys. There are definitely lots of gay men out there who that's not an issue, that they accept you as a man and they appreciate you as a man and they regard your genitalia as male genitalia. That's Buck's pussy. It's a guy's pussy.
Yep, 100%. I have no problems at all. Men are so incredibly awesome with me. And I have no problems at all.
Not all gay men. There are certainly gay men out there who would have to be described as phallophiles, according to some authors on the internet. Evan Urquhart at Slate says that people who have a really strong preference for puss or penis should describe themselves as vagophiles or phallophiles. So there's some gay guys out there who, you know, they want a dick on a dude. And that's not necessarily transphobic, so long as they're respectful and kind about framing their desires in a non-negative way.
Yes.
But there are plenty of gay guys who'll sleep with trans men.
I mean, come on. Of course there's going to be gay men who have problems with me, and those are the gay men I don't hang out with. The gay men I hang out with completely respect me as a man. We have amazing sex. Everything is fine. So, yes, there's men who are not going to be into it, just like everybody else, right? We're just like everybody else. So.
All right, so now let's pivot to the caller.
So, it's difficult for me because I feel for this person. I feel for this person. I feel it in their voice. I feel how much they really want to be taken seriously as a person who identifies as a trans man. But let's talk about realistic behavior here. And some people are going to get very upset at me for saying this, and that's okay, because I'm the guy who really wants to make it better for this person. And the reality of it is this person is saying that they do not take hormones, they do not have any surgery, they presently present as female. That right there alone says to me, of course, gay men are not going to be attracted to you. You're presenting as female, even though inside of your body, you feel masculine, you present yourself as masculine in your head and in your mind, and that's who you want to be. And all of that is great. And everybody respects that. But the reality of the situation is gay men or whoever are visually attracted to people and visually, right? So there's a visual part of you that people are going to be attracted to, whether that's that hypermasculinity or just, you know, basic masculinity. This person presents as female. Of course, a gay man is not going to necessarily be attracted to you. So that said, I understand how come gay men are not attracted to her. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that totally makes sense. This is the kind of call we get every once in a while where I think, okay, this person would rather complain than get laid. Because I know a kind of guy out there who might be into him, which is a bi guy who appreciates his male essence, but also the female that he presents as, appreciates the boobs, appreciates everything else, the secondary female sex characteristics that currently this guy manifests.
Yes.
And that guy, that bi guy who can be into the dude that you are, but into the body that you've got, go find that guy. But I think the caller would rather complain about how terrible and awful gay men are, because gay men won't sleep with trans men, which is a lie.
It's a total lie. And that's why I get so upset at this community sometimes, because it is a lie. I've proven it to be a lie. Of course, 17 or 18 years ago when I started, yes, gay men had a huge problem with me. You know that. That's how we became friends. That's how me and you became friends.
Exactly.
You had a problem with it, but you were fucking gracious enough to have a conversation with me. And from that minute on, you totally got it. And we moved forward.
I would say I had a problem with it. It kind of blew my mind. I was like, what brave new world that has such dudes in it?
It was awesome. You were great. And I laughed about it, and we had a great time, and we cleared that up. Fast forward to today. Look, there are still guys who have a problem with me, and look how masculine I am, right? Mm-hmm. So there are going to be problems. And here's the deal with the transgender, specifically the trans male community, when this stuff starts to happen. I personally don't understand this, because I come from a whole other space. I'm a transsexual. I'm not even a trans man. To me, a trans man now doesn't have anything to do with what it means to transition or any of that. It's become something totally blurring the lines. And the reality of it is that when you start to play with all these gender roles and all these sexual roles, and you start taking them out of where they've already been, you better be prepared for people to push back on you. And that's the reality that this person needs to understand, is you're pushing against what people in society have already been set to think the way it is. And we are changing that, which is great. But it takes a long time for people to understand. And this person immediately thinks they're going to say they're a trans man and they identify as a gay man. And then the whole gay community is just going to be like, yeah, no, they're far from it. They're not going to do that. And so we need to have that real talk.
And I don't think that that makes the gay community evil or monolithic or bad. Like, there are gay men who've slept with you. I have a really good friend in his 20s who dates trans guys and doesn't make a distinction. Like, he dates guys. Some of those guys are trans. And I also gave him a call about this question, and he had a 3-word response, which is, don't do boobs.
Oh my God.
Like, he needs, you know, he's fine with the vagina, but he needs all those secondary male sex characteristics that the trans guys he dates are post-op for top surgery, but he doesn't care about anything else.
Right. And that's it. And he's allowed to have that. You know what I mean? Whatever he wants to do as a gay man and whatever makes him attracted, he can do. This person, you're right, is complaining without even understanding what they're complaining about. They want the whole world to just be like, okay, but they're living in a fantasy world. And this is a really bad and a big problem, because we're not coming down to this reality. And this is, they're living not in the world, as far as I'm concerned. They're not.
Because this is someone who would rather complain than get laid.
Yes, exactly. I mean, many people will have sex with you, my friend, but you just have to find the person who finds you attractive, and that's that.
And that's going to be someone who, with the exteriors and the object thing that you are, because we're all objects as well as human beings and three-dimensional persons, that exterior is female presenting. So you're going to draw the eye initially of someone who's attracted to the female that you present as. And if you go for a bi guy, that guy might be able to tap into also the man that you are.
Yes, that's a really great point, by the way. That's an awesome point. So
But gay guys aren't going to be able to, most of them, almost all of them aren't going to be able to go there. And that's not because that they're assholes. It doesn't prove that they're transphobic. It proves that they're men attracted to men.
That is so ridiculous that it would even say transphobic. There's trans people who don't date trans people. Does that make them transphobic? That's like ridiculous behavior. Now we're getting so insanely nitty gritty about, you know, just in deep every little crevice that we are actually not moving forward. And this is so upsetting to me that these kinds of things happen, because we're not moving forward. We're moving backwards. Anyway, it makes me just go crazy.
Well, Buck Angel, you are a force for good, and you are moving us forward. Buck Angel, speaker, author, porn star, and trans man, who, again, I'm going to assert has had sex with more gay men than I have. Thank you so much for jumping on the phone.
All right. Love you, my friend. Bye.
Love you too. Bye. Would you buy a t-shirt for $50 if you knew it only cost $7 to make? I'm afraid to ask you, honey, husband, love of my life, that question, because I think I know the answer.
Look, let's just...
I wouldn't buy a t-shirt that costs $7 to make for $50. He would, but with Everlane, he never has to overpay for quality clothes. Again, Everlane only makes premium essentials using the finest materials without traditional markups, and they tell you their real cost, so you know you're never overpaying. And on top of that, the clothes are great.
They are. We got our package from Everlane, and actually, immediately after opening the package, a friend of mine that was hanging out with me took one of the shirts and the pair of jeans because he needed clothes for work. And I let him have them for the day, but they've never come back to our house. 2 days later, I was like, hey, how did those fit? And he was like, I'm wearing them.
Everlane, the clothes are so great. Your friends are literally going to steal them from you like our friends stole them from us. And if you want to know what you're paying for and why, Everlane is the way to go. They're radically transparent about every step in their process, from the materials they use to the ethical factories they work with. Because Everlane sells directly to you and your friends steal directly from you, their prices are 30 to 50% lower than traditional retailers. Everlane's clothes look better, cost less, and, according to our friend, last longer. Essentials like their Cotton Crew t-shirt are exactly what they should be, simple, stylish, and made from quality materials. I love those Cotton Crews. Terry likes the cashmere sweater we got. Our friend likes the clothes he stole. Everlane's timeless essentials are just what you're looking for. No frills, just quality. And right now, you'll get free shipping on your first order when you go to everlane.com/savage. That's everlane.com/savage.
Honestly, the clothes are amazing.
And you know about clothes.
I do know about clothes.
I don't. That's why I wanted you to come in and help me out with this one.
Yeah.
Everlane.com/savage.
Hey, Dan. I'm a 17-year-old straight male. And I'm calling because I have a bit of a situation going on. There's this girl who I really like. She's real cool. And she's kind of been coming on to me, trying to ask me out. I haven't gotten super serious yet, but the situation is that I'm a senior and she's a freshman. And we're only 2 years apart in age. But I feel kind of uncomfortable with the scenario, because all of the senior guys I've known who've dated freshman girls have been really creepy dudes. They've kind of been trying to take advantage of them. And there's still kind of this image in my head, this negative image of the senior who's dating the freshman. And so even if she's the one coming on to me and she really likes me and I really like her, do I have some sort of moral obligation not to, you know, go out with her, have sex with her, just because of the gross culture of older high school guys dating younger high school girls?
If you want to date this girl, you should date this girl. You might want to Google Romeo and Juliet statute in the name of your state to make sure that it's legal for you to date this girl, particularly if you're about to turn 18 and she's still going to be 15. You also might want to consult age of consent laws in the state where you live, if indeed you hope to be sexually active with this girl, because you could get into shit loads of trouble, especially if she has parents who wouldn't appreciate you dating and potentially fucking their minor daughter. All that said, if you do decide to date this girl, after checking with your Romeo and Juliet statutes, making sure you're square with the law, maybe if you do decide to date her, do the right thing and meet her parents and make apologies and unpack for them what you unpacked for us, that you always thought this was a bit squicky, seniors dating freshmen, but you met their daughter and she's so great and she actually initiated contact with you and asked you out and you feel a little conflicted about it, but you want everything to be on the up and up and out in the daylight because you're doing the right thing. And I think that out in the daylight part is really important. Don't, to avoid the embarrassment or the niggling feeling of hypocrisy, don't date her in secret. Don't tell her that you'll go out with her so long as no one knows, so long as she tells no one, to protect your own reputation or to protect yourself from the cognitive dissonance that you're experiencing now, that you are that senior dating a freshman, that person you never wanted to be. Because if you date her in secrecy, that's likely to blow up and that's going to isolate her. Like, what if you are being manipulative all unintentionally because you're just young and inexperienced, maybe you weren't aware of your own sort of portion of toxic masculinity that you've internalized in this culture, and maybe you're going to be a little bit unintentionally, unconsciously shitty to her. And if she's dating you in secret and can't open up to her parents or her friends about it, or her peers or a teacher, because the only way she gets to keep seeing you is in secret, that's a problem. So if you do decide to date this girl, I'm sure she's not the only girl in your school, there are other options. If you do decide to date her, Google Romeo and Juliet statute, Google age of consent, date her on the up and up, out in the open, meet her parents, assure them that you're the good dude, a good dude who wants to meet her parents and wants to do right by her and is aware of your responsibility as the older person in this relationship to honor the campsite rule, to leave her better than you found her, to leave her in better shape than you found her. If you leave her at all, who knows? Maybe you guys will be that magic 17, 15-year-old couple who 10 years from now is getting married. High school sweethearts occasionally happens, rarely happens. Maybe you'll be that. But if not, if as is much likelier, you guys date for the school year and then part ways when you go off to college, leave her in better shape than you found her. You can do this. Just do it right. The holidays are almost here and things are starting to get really hectic, but you can decompress your life by using Stamps.com to do all your holiday mailing. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer and home printer. Then the mail carrier picks it up. Stamps.com makes it easy. They'll send you a digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage, and Stamps.com will even help you decide the best class of mail every time. Print postage any day, anytime, because Stamps.com is always open. Right now, you can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Savage. That's Stamps.com, click the mic, enter Savage.
Hey, Dan, I'm a 25-year-old heterosexual, cisgendered, high sex drive female. I am in a relationship with a man 2 years younger than me, very attractive, extremely sweet, and attentive. We have been together for only 3 months, but things have moved quite fast. I find myself in a rather strange situation. While I have feelings for him and our libidos are a good match, his penis size is what I would describe as monstrous, both in length and girth. And I have enjoyed large penises before and never had a problem with them, but I can't get over the pain his cock inflicts in me, no matter how many times we try and how much foreplay we work in. It has become a heavy issue between us. I feel awful, but he literally rips my vagina. Needless to say, we are both so sexually frustrated now, and I feel so bad because the size of his penis is nothing he can control. There is nothing he is doing wrong in this act at all. On the other hand, I have been noticing a series of immature behaviors related to lack of ambition and a gambling habit that he claims to have under control. His immaturity turns me off to the point where I don't even get horny around him anymore. Dan, I want to start my life, buy a house, eventually get married, and have a kid. I want someone who is at least as ambitious and driven as I am. He still lives with his parents, has a just okay job, doesn't save his money at all, and is a procrastinator. Older, successful, determined guys are what attracts me, but the ones that I have found always have too much baggage. So no luck in that department. Help me, Dan. This guy treats me like a queen, so it's hard to think about giving that up. Please let me hear your thoughts.
I'm going to play back a clip from a call, from your call. Here we go.
His immaturity turns me off to the point where I don't even get horny around him anymore.
He doesn't turn you on anymore. You're 3 months into this relationship. Setting aside his ginormous penis and the challenges a ginormous penis can present, you're not attracted to him anymore. You've learned enough about him in the last 3 months to realize that he's not someone that you can see yourself with long term. Lives at home with his parents, has a gambling problem, has no ambition, and you picture yourself, you want someone as your life partner who is ambitious, doesn't live with his parents, doesn't have a gambling problem, someone that you can save money to own a house with, not somebody who's going to gamble away the mortgage every month. So he's not your guy. So you don't need to solve the big penis problem. You are not into this guy. You are not attracted to him. It's over. Say goodbye. Say goodbye to him and his giant penis. I promise you, there are ambitious dudes out there who want out of life the same shit that you want out of life, who have penises of varying sizes, and you can Goldilocks your way through all those cocks until you find the just right penis on the ambitious dude that you are horny for 3 months in. Still horny for 3 months in. You are not horny for this guy 3 months in. That is a terrible sign. So tell him it's over. Tell him thank you for the giant penis. It was fun to meet him and fun to get to know him. And maybe you guys can stick the dismount and be friends, but you're not going to be lovers. You're not going to be partners. And as a side note, as an addendum, I'm sure people think I'm about to talk about how to have sex with somebody with a giant penis. We've talked about that in the past. I might talk about that in the future. I want to talk about this idea that if you have tremendous ambition, that your ideal partner is someone who has similarly tremendous ambition. And maybe that's the case. I don't think you want to be with somebody who lacks any ambition. I don't think you want to be with somebody who's not imagining the future that they'd like for themselves. But if you have tremendous ambition, if you're incredibly driven, sometimes the better partner is someone who is more relaxed about life, who wants a decent job but doesn't want the killer job or the top job, who's going to be there to support you while you go for it. I don't think everybody's cut out for the kind of cutthroat, competitive, greasy pole climbing shit that super ambitious people are cut out for. And sometimes if there are two incredibly ambitious people in one relationship, their ambitions pull them apart. But if there's one incredibly ambitious person and one person who's a little less ambitious but more in tune with the quality of life that they want to lead and less about getting to, you know, that 6 or 7 figure income, those two together can make a great partner. Somebody can be, you say you want kids, you say you want a home, you say you want that kind of future. What about a stay-at-home dad? What if that's someone's ambition? Some guy might come along with a reasonably sized penis who doesn't have professional ambitions like you have professional ambitions, but whose ambitions for his life might complement your professional ambitions very, very well. Don't discount that kind of guy. You don't want a freeloader. You don't want a loser. You don't want a bum, however big the tick is. But someone who loves and supports you and contributes in ways that aren't necessarily about the giant-ass paycheck or the top job, that's a different kind of ambition, and it might partner well with your particular kind of ambition.
Hey, Dan, this is a 20-something calling from the Midwest. I'm just calling because my partner and I have 5 years who have been in a monogamous commitment for the last 5 years has entered into an open relationship. So the first time that he tried to pick someone up, he was very, very intoxicated, and he did it at a bar where my twin sister works. A little background, they've been friends for, you know, just as long as we've been dating. We're all really close. And even though time and place are an issue here, and I know my boyfriend was very drunk and he did something that necessarily did, like, you know, wasn't a good idea because it risked our social circle because they weren't aware that we were in an open relationship and my sister thought he was just openly cheating on me in front of her. Anyways, my sister became very upset naturally, and she's saying that she's going to write off my boyfriend, who she's been very close with for 5 years, but that she will still maintain contact with me and having being in an open relationship because I'm her sister. And while I know this is his battle to fight because he was the drunken oaf that, you know, tried to take somebody home in front of her, I can't help but feel like there's some language here that would be a teachable moment for her. And I know that, you know, some people aren't ever going to come around to open relationships, but I think it's really unfair of her to write my partner off when I'm making the same choice as him. Anything you can say to help? I don't really know if I even asked a question, but anything you could do to help me fix the situation would be appreciated.
You did the right thing by telling your sister that you're in an open relationship. Your boyfriend did a dumb thing by getting drunk and being so inconsiderate and just fucking stupid as to pick someone up in a bar drunk off his ass in front of his girlfriend's sister who didn't know and didn't necessarily need to know that you two were in an open relationship. But now she needs to know. She needed to know after witnessing that, and you did the right thing by telling her. And your sister is doing the wrong thing by telling you that she will have nothing to do with your awful, terrible boyfriend. She will maintain a relationship with you, however, because she disapproves apparently of openness and is putting all the blame and all the responsibility for your open relationship onto your boyfriend's shoulders. And what you need to say to your sister is, you are stripping me of agency here. This isn't something that is being done to me. This is a choice that we have made together. This is what I want too. And if you can't be with or have a relationship with my boyfriend of 5 years because we're in an open relationship, well, then you can't have one with me either. Because the thing that you're mad at him for, by all rights and in fairness, you have to be mad at me for it too, because this is my choice as well. Don't let your sister compartmentalize your relationship in this way. No, 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 no. That's unfair. Unfair to your boyfriend. Your boyfriend did a dumb thing. You guys had to come out to your sister. Now you are put in the position of having to stick up for your boyfriend. Your sister would probably rather create a narrative in her head where you are the damsel in distress and that you have submitted your poly under duress or open under duress in this relationship because your boyfriend has this Svengali-like control over you, and this isn't about you or your desires or what you want. And you know that it is about you and your desires and what you want also. And you need to emphatically communicate that to your sister and emphatically communicate to her that she is being unfair to your boyfriend. And you are not going to let her do that. And this is about your relationship with her too. That's on the line too. You see this a lot when a couple comes out as poly or kinky, if they need to come out as kinky to their family, where the family doesn't want to see their little darling, their sister or their kid as the pervert. And so they instead regard the partner as having perverted them. That perversion was something done to that person by this evil outside force, not something that grew in that own person's heart or not something that person always wanted. Because they're so kink negative or openness negative or polyphobic or whatever. And the onus is really on the partner who's being let off the hook when that happens to climb back up on that fucking hook that your family or your sister, in your case, is trying to let you off by pinning all the blame and all the responsibility on your boyfriend. Don't let her get away with it.
Hi, Dan. This is a call in response to episode 576 about the man whose boyfriend had lost his phone 8 times and also is very creative. These both sound like symptoms of ADHD or ADD. In case if you haven't looked into that already, it might be worth a shot to get him tested and hopefully get treatment to help you guys out in your relationship.
Hi, I just wanted to leave a comment about the girl calling on the weed episode, talking about, you know, which strains and stuff, what to smoke during sex so she's not falling asleep on it. I do live in a state where it is legal, so I have familiarized myself a lot with the different sativas and indicas. Definitely go with a sativa. There's a specific one out there that me and my husband have tried that is just like, whoa, wow, it's called Ghost Train. It is a sativa heavy, but it definitely helps in the bedroom. So keep an eye out for that if you can. Hope it helps.
Hey, Dan, I'm calling about episode 576 in response to the lady who saw the condom dispensers in the men's room on the roadside. It has nothing to do with birth control responsibility or hetero men being, cool and taking part in, their responsibilities. It has to do with the men fucking each other in those bathrooms. Reason it's not in women's restrooms is that the people that are putting them there probably reasonably assume that women aren't fucking each other in roadside bathrooms, or if they are, they don't really need quite the same accessories. I suppose men don't need them either, but the people who put them there are probably not that jazzed about cleaning up a lot of jizz off of the ceiling, floor, stall walls, mirrors, wherever. So they figure if they can minimize the spray, then so much the better. It has little to nothing to do with any heterosex at all. It's roadside fucking for dudes.
And we're going to leave it there. 206-302-2064 is the number here at the Savage Lovecast. If you'd like to record a question or a comment for a future show, give us a buzz. 206-302-2064. We want to thank Time Magazine for naming the Savage Lovecast one of the 50 best podcasts in the world. Thank you very much, Time Magazine. And we're in such great company with shows like Invisibilia and Hardcore History. And it was such an honor and a surprise to read them. So thank you, Time Magazine. Follow me on Twitter @FakeDanSavage. Follow Buck Angel on Twitter @ Buck Angel. And of course, subscribe to the Magnum Edition of the Savage Lovecast at savagelovecast.com. The Magnum Edition is twice as long and ad-free. So if you want more Savage Lovecast with less ads, go to savagelovecast.com and subscribe. The Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian and me and the tech-savvy at-risk youth. And Nancy, we will all be back at you next week with another installment of the Savage Lovecast. Thanks for downloading.